And a good morning. Welcome into In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples here today with USD 383 School Board President for the last day, I guess, Kurt Herman. Thanks for being here.
Yes, thank you.
And Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed as well joining us. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Brandon.
And we're so glad. Yeah, I know that weather can kind of cause some delays. We had some cancellations this morning, but you guys made it in easy this morning. How are the roads out there? We're not so sure.
They're just slushy for me anyway. I mean that was anyway, they weren't bad though.
Okay.
Yeah, I put some miles on this morning, and they progressively got a little better. The crews were out. I'll give a lot of props to the county and the cities and people treating the roads. They were out with their sand trucks when I was driving around. And sometimes I beat them out. And, you know, the more traffic you got on it, the better the roads were. The temperature stayed up. That was really helpful. If we would have been 10 degrees less, it would have been a mess.
Yeah.
And buses all had no issues this morning.
I think I had one hit a curb.
Okay.
So
that's good news.
One report, and that's not bad on a normal day. So.
Yeah. Very good.
Awesome.
Well, glad to hear it. I know you guys have a busy agenda here tonight on the school board meeting here. And before we kind of get into the meat and potatoes of what's going on tonight, I know we got some transitioning of board members tonight.
Tonight will be I will pass the gavel on to the next board president, and that will be, well, unless something unusual happens, but Carla Hagemeister. She's been the vice president for actually the past year and a half with me, and what an awesome job she's done, and I'm sure she's just going to step right in and hit the ground running. And Jardine Coleman also, she's starting her third year on the board also, and she will be likely be the vice president. And so I'm really excited about the new leadership for the board.
Yeah, they were the only two that expressed interest in it, so my guess is that it'll follow serve with that, because they're two great people to choose for that anyway.
Kind of unique too, having two ladies lead the board. Has that happened before in the district?
Yeah,
as far as president, vice president,
I don't know, but
well, there was, I think, Susan Marshall and actually Nancy Knoppen was a president and Susan Marshall the vice president a long time ago. But actually, there's only going to be two men. Actually, there's going to be five women on the board now. Which is awesome.
It's awesome.
A great representation. I know Leah had mentioned when she came on the board, there were only two women, and so now it's kind of swung the other way. But regardless, they're all great leaders, and we all work together very well. We have a very very good board that you know, we can disagree without being disagreeable. So we got a great board.
Well, I've enjoyed working with Carlin and Jardine as well. I know they'll represent the board very well. Getting into it, I know on our previous story this morning, we talked a little bit about the Oliver Brown Elementary, and it sounds like construction is going to begin very soon on that elementary school.
Yeah, we have our GMP, which stands for Guaranteed Maximum Price for our construction. We've got all those bids worked through, and right now our contractor is working on securing those contracts, but they bring to us a maximum price for the project we put forward. So, and we're under budget on the construction end of it. I would remind people, though, construction budget is the building part. We still have some stuff on the district end as far as putting the furniture in the building, getting the networking done, getting all the door accesses. So there's still things coming along on the district side. But as far as the construction goes, everything looks good on budget. So I'm really happy with that project. I think we're able to do even more than we thought at the beginning of the process.
And you know, and what that means, it's kind of obvious, but it's the guaranteed maximum price. They cannot go over, even if their construction costs are more than what they anticipated. They absorb that, the construction firms. But
unless a change.
Right, unless we ask for a change or there's a change order, then we incur that cost. But the advantage, too, you know, this is my second bond issue that I've been through. And the last time we did, most of it was design, bid, build. And it's a lot. I mean, it's a good process as well, but it's a lot slower because you have to get the design done first. Everything has to be done, then you bid it, and then you build. Where the GMP, the guaranteed maximum price, is you don't necessarily have to have all the plans and everything designed done. You get to a certain point so you can do the bidding. But you know, they've been doing some groundwork out there too. I mean, it's without doing the GMP, they wouldn't be able to touch anything until we actually had the price assigned.
Yeah. Good thing with a new building is you don't run into as many surprises. It's not like you tear out a wall and find asbestos, or rip some carpet up and you find some asbestos tile, or you find some lead paint doing there. We got an open field. It's a little bit easier book to start with. So I'm grateful for the work of the team on that. We had Hutton working with our architect, you know, Alloy out of Wichita has been the lead contractor on that, and they've both done a good job with our design teams.
Now, I've driven over in that area before. What is the exact, like, crossroads that the school will sit on there?
The new road going into the development's Jackie's Way. I don't have the address exactly memorized yet, but it's a Jackie's Way address, and Junietta is the main road that we go by. So,
okay. I think I've seen where they're getting things kind of ready there.
Yeah, I think I put the address in the report.
I see it now, 4787 there Jackie's Way.
I got to put that in memory, and hopefully they get it in GPS sometime soon. So when I start trying to tell people where to go on that, put it in your GPS.
Yeah.
So, and the goal here is to have that school ready in time for the 2021-22 school year. And as things sit right now, that's still workable.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it also has happened there. We must finish the middle school projects must be done and ready to go at the same time, because that when we redistrict, that will be included in that, in the adjustment of the students.
Yep, timing is important. The middle schools are out to bid right now, so they should be coming back with a GMP for those projects relatively soon. So,
yeah. All right. Well, I know redistricting is on the agenda here tonight, maybe the first real discussions of that. And that's a challenge, I know, for any district when you have to go through that. You know, students changing from school to school here, parents we'll certainly chime in at some point. What is the discussion, I guess, here tonight?
Tonight's discussion is basically what I'm proposing is bring in a consultant in to help us with this process. One for time management, and two for population trends. We had RSP do a population study before the bond issue, and it provided us some really good information going forward, and they can pick up on that and kind of see where our trends are. Undeveloped areas, I think they're good talking to the cities and counties about, you know, how many houses could go up in those areas to kind of give projections. And they've been pretty accurate on that with other schools. So basically, due to time, for me managing all the construction projects that we have going on now to tackle redistricting, I'm just going to need some help along the way. Plus, it's a group that can come in. We can set criteria and say, this is what we want out of redistricting. Here are the 10 most important things for us, and they can give us some options and talk about that, present it to the community, and bring it back to the board. So basically that's where it comes, and then we'll have a conversation later on down the line what those priorities are.
And it's kind of things that people ask me a lot. You know, it's not like you can't just draw a circle around every school and just say, here's where you're going to go, because you know, the students aren't evenly populated across, you know, the district. There may be, you know, an attendance zone that's in the shape of Italy, and people are like, well, what's up with that? Well, because that's where the kids live. And we also have to make sure, you know, we have, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Eric, but we have Title I schools, mm-hmm. and the students in those schools qualify for free lunches. And so I think we have four of those right now. Mm-hmm. And so we really want to try and maintain those, because we're you know, that's a significant amount of money and benefits for those students and those families as well. So it may look like kind of strange, like why would you take this one little pocket of students and send them to a school? But sometimes it has to do with maintaining a Title I designation.
Now, with Ogden's unique now, because it's outside of Manhattan, will it be impacted by redistricting, like as far as students leaving Ogden, maybe going to a different school? Or
I think everybody will be impacted by redistricting in some capacity. But Ogden's probably one of our least crowded schools. So if anything, they take more area than they currently have.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the new school, I know, will probably pull from a lot of the schools on the eastern side. Mm-hmm. Woodrow Wilson, I would think, would be on that list. Bluemont on that list. Any others?
Bluemont and Woodrow are the two big ones. And then obviously that frees up some space at Woodrow Wilson and Bluemont when you take a majority of their students and you push them out east, if that's the way at all. And logically, there's a lot of reasons why it would work out that way. Yeah. But you also have some crowding at Bergman, you got some crowding at Amanda Arnold, got some crowding at Lee, and so it'll be spreading those things out. As Kurt mentioned, the middle schools are a piece of this, moving sixth grade up. But also, you know, when we add a Eastside Elementary School, you know, we have our normal feeder system that these elementary schools feed into Anthony, these elementary schools feed into Eisenhower. We're going to have to look at that too. And I don't think we'll be able to continue on the same way with the same buildings going to the same middle schools just because the math doesn't work. Math just doesn't work.
It's, right now, we're lucky. It's almost perfect. It's almost exactly.
It truly is. It's about as close as it's ever been middle school-wise. But
Even boy-girl distribution, it's like 50-50 at both schools. But, I don't think we'll be able to. But like Eric said, the domino effect is, like, you know, once that some of that space is freed up at Wilson and Bluemont, because those are the forced transferred schools also. So some schools that out on the west side of town, if they don't have room for certain age levels, their students are forced to forced transferred to Bluemont or Woodrow. So that'll ease up.
Yep.
Those and there are some families that moved to town and because of specific attendance zones and they're not able to go to those schools, but that should all play out correctly when this is done.
All right. Well, no doubt you guys will keep parents in the loop here of this going forward.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick timeout. We'll come back more with USD 383 School District here on News Radio KMAN.